Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. El Sistema is an intensive music education program in Venezuela. Now in its 30th year, they now educate around 700,000 children each year in an intensive orchestral and instrumental music training program. The program founded by Jose Antonio Abreu has spawned the Simon Bolivar National Youth Orchestra, an internationally touring orchestra, as well as current Los Angeles Philharmonic conductor Gustavo Dudamel. The system has now been exported to a number of countries, including the United States. As little as 6 years ago, there were only about five programs in the country, but today that number is well over 50, including Tulsa's Harmony Project at Kendall Whittier Elementary and another project, Sistema Tulsa, will be kicking off this week, serving about 80 fourth and fifth graders from Burroughs, Shoto, and Lee Elementaries. Boston Avenue Church will be serving as a home for the project, which will offer 2 hours of afternoon orchestral instruction each day. The cost for the student, estimated at well over $4,000 a year, is completely underwritten at no cost to the student, and there'll be research on school performance and family resilience, which will be measured by social researchers. My guest today is the executive director of Sistema Tulsa, Jose Luis Hernandez, a pianist and conductor who spent several years working with the founder in Venezuela. He joins us to talk about the introduction of Sistema Tulsa. Jose Luis Hernandez, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us. And welcome to Tulsa, belatedly.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you've been here about 9 months to set up Sistema Tulsa. For those who don't know about El Sistema, it started in Venezuela. It has produced incredible musicians that now are populating orchestras around the world, literally. Tell us a little bit about El Sistema.
Sistema is a music education program. It is a transformative education program. And it started in Venezuela in the 1970s by a brilliant philosopher in education, Dr. Jose Abreu, who has led a movement, a revolution in music, if you will. And there are programs now planted in the United States in about 90 communities. And the premise of Sistema is simple but powerful. Sistema is a program that brings people together, that empowers them as human beings. It's a program of developing aspirations and people's potential. It's a program about developing critical habits of mind that would allow our youth to become more disciplined and more focused, to produce accurate work, to work well with others, and ultimately to see themselves and their futures in a positive light. All of this can be done through music.
Yeah. Now, when you think about Venezuela, you think of a country with this incredible culture, but again, the culture is limited to a small elite class, and one of the things El Sistema did was it said, no, every Venezuelan can participate in our culture, and by participating in this music program, we're going to create critical thinkers, we're going to create kids that are used to achieving excellence, and this is going to rub off in every aspect of their life. I mean, you're talking about kids in some of the poor slums.
Right.
In Caracas.
And I have been there numerous times to work with them and to visit with them. And it has been a transformative experience for me as an educator to see potential, to see people's ability to realize their futures in a positive light. And you're right. You know, Venezuela is a country with many challenges. It's a very complex country, both socially and politically, but a beautiful place indeed. And I think the paradigm that you've just mentioned is the accessibility of music, making music a fundamental human right. And I think that's important. It's something that we have to strive for. I see in this community people who are very committed about education. Now, we'd like to encourage them to turn their minds and their hearts to arts learning, to the potential that that could bring in communities like Tulsa that might be underserved or in need of opportunities to thrive.
It's interesting. You said you know, music is an essential human right. I think there are people who would say, what, when you say something like that. Although I think there are also people who say if a concentrated music education program can lead to better performance in classroom and other subjects, then I support that. Now, how do you get to that viewpoint of music in and of itself as an essential human right?
We have to think of music on a very broad, on a broader spectrum. We have to think of the arts not just as a form of entertainment, but as a tool to culture community, to culture people. and the very sense of the word, you know, to improve others. Now, classical music is a very complex discipline that requires a lot of discipline, a lot of focus, a lot of hard work. And I think we can translate the process, the lessons of learning music into other activities, into other productive activities. So you're right. Music is going to transfer effectively into what's happening in the classroom, what's happening in the family sphere. When children and youth learn to work together and to listen to each other, stand partners, or being part of an orchestra, they learn lessons in empathy. They learn lessons in solidarity. And that's a beautiful thing. So you have to think about music in a way that it's much more than the notes. It goes beyond the notes. And on top of that, it's such a culturally binding activity that brings people together. Yeah. It's powerful.
If I can follow up on what you're talking about, you know, listening to your stand partner, but also listening to your teacher or your section coach, if you're in a sectional situation, all of a sudden that need to focus intensely on what your section coach is saying, that translates to math class when you're learning algebra, English and the constructions of a sentence, proper writing techniques, science, every part of it.
Cognition. We talk about, when we talk about critical habits of mind, you know, metacognition, the ability to think about one's own thinking. You know, so if you're thinking about creating a sound and then sounding the sound and then reflecting on it and adjusting it, you know, you and I are musicians. We know what it means to, we know how difficult it is to create a beautiful tone. You know? Mm-hmm. And that can take years of hard work, but not just work, lots of listening. And listening to the shape and the texture of the sound, the color of the sound. And so you immerse yourself in a sound world that has everything to do with beauty. Mm-hmm. And that can be very encouraging in the life of a child or a youth that has not had opportunities to succeed, that has not had the access to music that I believe everyone should have.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to be starting with fourth and fifth graders at three elementary schools this year. What is the overall plan for Sistema Tulsa?
Sistema Tulsa aims to begin small and grow over time. We're beginning with up to 80 students representing three elementary schools. These are Burroughs, Shoto, and Lee. They are a very diverse group of students. And our hope for them is that we work with them daily. This program is unique in that it happens daily after school. You know, so the students are in their program, you know, up to 2.5 hours a day. And that creates a sense of structure. It creates a space of productivity after school. It gives them a safe space to learn and also to interact, with other children in their own community that they might not have a chance to meet or to make music with. So our goal is that we want to perform great music. We want to teach to the highest level possible. But we also want to measure what is happening in and within the process of music education. I really want to see change. I want to see improvement. We're going to be looking at the building and sustaining of habits of mind, you know, what I had talked about, and building discipline and focus. Having students work well with each other and understand each other. We're going to be measuring all of those things so that we see improvement over time. And hopefully that translates into the classroom and how they behave at school.
Now, do they have requirements of being in good standing in their school to participate in the program?
Right. They have to be good students. Yeah. They have to be exemplary students. We need them to be. We need them to be role models. I think, you know, today our youth needs role models, not just adults, but also peers that others can look up to. So I envision that, a year from, from now, when the students go back to school and play for school assemblies and carry their instruments in the hallways, other students are going to notice, and they're going to really look up to them. They're going to be becoming leaders in their own sphere, in their own ecosystem. And that's my hope for them. This sistema is a machine, if you will, for human development.
Talk about getting a sistema started, because I can understand once it's going, when kids come into the program, you have your peers role modeling this attitude that sistema programs seem to have, where it is serious about music, it's serious about mastering your instrument, it's, you know, and having fun at the same time. But in starting a program, you don't have those role models. You don't have the peer role models. How do you begin to instill that discipline?
I think it begins from day one. I mean, we have to think about building sistema programs as a policy-making process. And that includes having numerous conversations. I mean, I remember when I arrived in Tulsa, the first thing on my agenda was to touch base with the overall ecosystem of arts learning, of arts culture and education, and have conversations, very focused conversations about what the needs of the community were. The same process with the Tulsa Public Schools, who is our partner. A few weeks ago, we presented the idea before the School Board of Education, and they supported a memorandum of understanding to work with us. So we've taken the policymaking route, to really defining the problem. You know, what is the problem? What is happening in Tulsa? And how can we make it better? What kind of solution do we offer? We found that, in the case of the Central Feeder School District, there's a huge problem in diminished aspirations, which is, not to generalize, but in many urban schools across America, that is a sentiment that is very much present in these communities. So what is the solution? So we begin thinking about the solution and how can we infer positively on that habit of mind, on that mindset. Rich, it begins with culture. It begins with culturing the idea and planting the seed in the community in a way that it will grow. Now, it's a very slow process, but a very exciting process. I'm counting on our students, on our families, on our volunteers, on our teachers, on our partners to help us. We need to do everything we can to make sure that our youth have the tools to succeed.
Yeah. Now, and that idea of mastering low expectations, it's the idea is you master a piece, you master an instrument.
Absolutely.
You play perfectly in tune on a scale, whatever it is, that all of a sudden is changing your total outlook. That's going to carry over to reading, to science, to mathematics.
We need students winning every single day. Yeah. So they need to improve every single day. I see this as a compound effect, where if you're going to create a program that is structured, that is every day after school, you're going to see progress. But most importantly, our students are going to see progress. They're going to be able to improve and see their improvement. And that once you've realized that you can improve, the sky's the limit. You can begin to think about yourself in a much positive way. You've dispelled the myth that you cannot do it. I love a quote by Maya Angelou: "Nothing will work unless you do. Nothing will work unless you do." So this is that platform to allow students, to allow our participants to work hard, and to see that they can achieve. Now, obviously, they have teachers.
Right.
They have excellent teachers and an excellent support system. So when we think of sistema, we need to think about a system, about not just a program, but to think deeply about what can an educational system do for others.
Right. My guest today is Jose Luis Hernandez, the executive director of Sistema Tulsa. Sistema Tulsa starts their first year in about a week and a half or so at Boston Avenue Church. They're going to be serving fourth and fifth graders, about 80 of them, from Burroughs, Choteau, and Lee Elementaries. The idea is to slowly build a Sistema program, which these fourth and fifth graders, the plan is to stick with them all the way through high school graduation. And building up a cadre of ensembles to create musical excellence, which will hopefully translate to all sorts of excellence within those children's lives. And one of the things I know that's a big part of this is research, too. You're going to be working with OSU to, I guess, to test and model to see what sort of difference this is making in all aspects of these kids' lives.
Absolutely. The research and evaluation pieces, it's very important for us. This is what will allow us to build this program over time for it to be replicable and scalable. So we are working with two partners, with the Center for Music and Education in Boston, particularly with Dr. Larry Scripp, who for many years worked with the Harvard Project Zero, led by Howard Gardner and others.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is the multiple intelligence.
With the multiple intelligences and many other theories that have developed out of the Project Zero. And also with the OSU Tulsa Center for Family Resilience. And the purpose is manifold. You know, one is to really solidify our theory of change. You know, what is this program about? What can it do? How will this infer positively in the life of the community? Where are our outcomes? And how can we also reflect and think about the work in a way that we can improve? So I see us as a learning organization, an organization that thinks about deeply about what its goals are, and also reflecting upon those goals. One of the things I'm very excited about and is this idea of ecological improvement, in that when you have a student in the center of an idea of bringing about social change, you not only infer positively upon the student, but you also infer upon the family.
And I assume that's the latter research group's focus, to see how this child being a part of Sistema, maybe making positive contributions to Sistema, how that affects the whole family.
How it affects the whole family. And I think we're going to be seeing remarkable results in that area. It's beautiful because if you are a parent, you know that when you see your child succeed, it means the world to you. And to see a student on a stage playing well, being happy,
right,
feeling good about herself, as a parent, your life is transformed. Because you know that you've done well. You know that that your student is on her way to success.
May I stop you for a second? Because one of the things, all parents have had their kids in music programs, it doesn't matter the quality of music, you still have those moments. But I think when you have a group like El Sistema, where the quality music making is quite high, impressively high, and in some cases, like in high school orchestras, really, 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 really good, there's a whole nother level to that.
Right.
And I think one of the things, your program with the 2 hours of practice a day, it's going to open a whole lot of eyes to what the expectations for all music programs within the city of Tulsa, within Tulsa Public Schools, but maybe even the surrounding communities as well, of what's actually achievable.
Right. You just set a great responsibility for us, right there. And I think you're right. It's unique. It's unique in our world of music education in this country to have such an intensive program. Usually you would have a lesson once a week, and then you meet with your local youth orchestra on a Saturday. So you're looking at, 2 hours of organized music teaching at the most. And that's if you can afford it.
Yeah.
Now, our program is free of cost to all of the families who wish to participate. But I always say there's nothing free about education. You have to work. You have to work to earn it. You have to earn your right to be educated. There's nothing free about it. And going back to the idea of standards, I think this will set high standards, and I hope that other educators will join us. I really see this as a framework where many can participate. We want to work with the existing music organizations. I know that there's a thriving ecosystem of music teaching and learning in the city, and we want to work with them, and we want to envision together what can be accomplished. You know, I'm excited because we're already working with the Tulsa Public Schools and their fine arts.
Yeah, many of your teachers are working in your program after
absolutely.
School.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're working with our teachers, which we have an inaugural faculty of 8 who are just outstanding. You know, we've got the director of orchestras from Edison High School, a few of the music elementary teachers from several schools in the district. So we're working towards alignment. And as we work towards alignment, we're also working towards thinking about what can be achieved, what can we achieve together, and how do we raise the bar?
Yeah. Now, the idea you mentioned, you said, you know, it's free tuition, free musical instrument, free musical instruction. What are the responsibilities of the student and their families? Because I know there's a family contract involved with this.
Right. We have a covenant of participation. And actually, you know, this week we'll have our first parent orientation. So we'll see all of our parents and students for the first time. There is an accountability piece to this. There is a strong discipline surrounding all of this. So we're expecting parents to participate fully in the program by supporting their students, encouraging them beyond their musical instruction, being present. I want them to be present in their lives. We need to dispel the myth that urban city parents are not involved in their child's.
You want them
education.
Sitting in the back of the room at rehearsal.
I want them to be at rehearsal. I want them to cheer for their students at concerts. I want them to be advocates for their children and then for others. We need to develop a culture of advocacy for our own families and for the future of education. We're going to be making leaders out of this program. That's my hope. I want them to feel accountable. They need to, you know. And for that same reason, our application process, we put in a survey that will help us discern the family's readiness. You know, is this family ready to commit to the program? It's after school every day. To meet the deadlines and the concerts and to be present. And Rich, reading those surveys, I can already see that the program is making a huge impact in families who have not yet started. I have responses that tell me, quote, and I quote, I will never let my child give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to me, that's transformative.
And you've already set your first concert date in December. We should also mention there's a fundraiser coming up for Sistema Tulsa. It's going to be quite a fundraiser. You have Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra coming in.
We do. We are excited, both excited and delighted. The Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis is one of the leading musical performances
of our time. Great musical performance, but it's also a strong music education program. They sponsor a nationwide competition where they have kids playing the music of Duke Ellington, and they bring them to Lincoln Center for the finals. And it's also a heavy participatory educational experience.
It is. Jazz at Lincoln Center and Wynton Marsalis in particular are, I like to call them, consummate advocates of the arts. They have done a lot of great work in planting seeds and being advocates for this idea of music education to bring attention to the things that matter. One of which is the arts. Wynton Marsalis will be here interacting with our students, interacting with the city of Tulsa, with the community. The concert happens on October 2nd at the PAC, and we still have tickets available for anyone that would like to see this historic performance. This will be much more than music. This will be about shedding light on an important matter that belongs to us all, education and music and art. We're going to celebrate that together, and I hope to see a lot of Tulsans join us.
Yeah. Now, you've actually set your first concert, even though you've yet to meet your new students, or at least in a ensemble. You've already set a first concert in December, right?
That's right, and this is called the First Notes Concert. The First Notes Concert on December the 11th. And it'll be the first time that these students will sound their instruments in front of a live audience. And it'll be a very special time. I mean, who doesn't remember their first performance?
Right.
No.
No, we shouldn't build this up too much because, I mean, it's going to be a beginning year orchestra.
Right.
But are we liable to be surprised by what you're able to achieve in the first 3 months?
I think we will be surprised. I will be pleasantly surprised. We're going to be working very hard from day one. First week, instrument placement week, we're going to have all the students try every single instrument and discern their readiness, and we'll ask them to choose, which instrument they'd like to play. So we're going to match their physical aptitude to their affinity. Mm-hmm. They'll meet, their future right there. The instrument that they hold in their hand is the tool to succeed.
Yeah.
It's going to be their tool, and they're going to take care of it. We will be surprised. I'm looking forward to December. I'm looking forward to the energy in the room, to the parents' hope and aspiration for their children. I'm looking forward to see them wave across the stage, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of smiles and great music making. Even though they will play at a beginner level, I want to see them as dignified as a New York Philharmonic.
Yeah. Well, we wish you great success with Sistema Tulsa. This year serving 4th and 5th graders at Burroughs, Choteau, and Lee Elementary. And I assume the nice thing about this is the first year, you've already raised all the money for the first year, and so you're raising money for the next year, and then you'll have 2 years' worth of students in there.
Right.
And I assume at some point, if this takes off, you'll be expanding beyond those three elementary schools.
We sure hope so. I've already received letters of school principals and others asking, when are we going to be involved? Can we be involved in this? So we're already seeing a lot of good energy surrounding this cause. And you're right. We've already raised enough funds to cover our first year, and we're beginning to fundraise for year two. So I'm inviting the entire community to look at what we are doing, to follow our progress, throughout this first year, to visit us and to see for themselves the power of transformative education. I also invite them to visit our website at sistematulsa.org. There'll be updates and opportunities to interact and be in partnership.
All right. Jose, pleasure to speak with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
Jose Luis Hernandez is the executive director of Sistema Tulsa, which will begin educating about 80 fourth and fifth graders from Burroughs, Choteau, and Lee Elementaries beginning next week. If you'd like to learn more about Sistema Tulsa, visit sistematulsa.org. There you can also find information about the benefit concert from Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra scheduled for early October. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.